When I look around this auditorium, I see a lot of folks who've gone through a hurt. I look at the Cartwrights, and they lost a son to cancer. I see Judy Glazier over here. Her sister has been diagnosed with a mass in her brain. Watermelon Campbell was in the first service. His wife died this week, and we had her funeral yesterday, and Watermelon was just broken up. Gail Hackett, who usually attends this service, sits over here. She had a massive stroke a week and a half ago. Hackett's been friends of my family for a quarter of a century. There's a lot of people in this room who have experienced hurt. I'm in the business where I'm around people who are hurting all the time. But I also see people who have miraculous answers to prayer. And they're excited because God has healed them of cancer. Or someone, a family member, a loved one, had a stroke, and they gave them the medication that caused them to recover within 24 hours. Or the mass in the brain is not malignant, and it's benign, and everything's okay. So I'm around people who are rejoicing when good things happen, and people who really hurt when bad things happen. This week, I was at the funeral for Ingrid Williams. One of the finest funerals I've ever attended. Coach Monty Williams is the assistant coach at the Oklahoma City Thunder. And Diane, his wife Ingrid, was driving in Oklahoma City when another woman, Mrs. Donaldson, had a dog in her lap, and she lost control of her vehicle, went across the center line, hit Ingrid head on. Ingrid later died as a result of the accident. Three of Monty's kids were injured and hospitalized. And maybe you've seen the 7 minute, 7 second talk that Monty gave. Kevin Durant was on the front row. Westbrook was on the second row. I took a picture of it because I was so moved. Monty took Romans 8:28 as his text, and we know that all things work together for good to them who are the called according to his purpose. And he spoke about God's goodness. I was overwhelmed at how Monty could keep in check his emotions and speak of the goodness of God when he lost his 44-year-old wife to a tragic accident. How can you do that? Well, I want to show you this morning. In fact, I want to issue to you a challenge, and I hope that you at least think through the challenge that I'm giving to you. Don't accept it at first glance. See from Scripture if what I'm saying is true. And if it is, then my challenge for you is to change the way you think, change the way you pray, change the things over which you rejoice. Because I want to show you a stunning statement by Jesus regarding what it is that you and I are to rejoice over in life. I want to show you from Luke chapter 10 that Jesus Christ is both sovereign and Savior. And we are to rejoice more over the fact that he's our Savior than he is sovereign over the temporal things of our life. In Luke chapter 10, we find that Jesus has sent 70 disciples out to tell people the good news, to show them the kingdom, to tell them how they can be right with God. And so the disciples go out and they share Christ, and they come back rejoicing, and this is where we pick up our reading of the text, Luke chapter 10 and verse 17. The 70 returned with joy, saying, "Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name." And Jesus said to them, "I was watching Satan fall from heaven like lightning. Behold, I have given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing will injure you." In other words, Jesus doesn't contradict what they say. "You bet, I was watching what you were doing as you were sharing Christ. I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning. I saw you tread on scorpions and serpents. I saw it all." Now, what does Jesus mean in verse 19 when he says, "You tread on scorpion and serpents. And what does he mean when he says he saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning? What's he talking about? Well, these are metaphors. It would be like me saying to you, hey, it's raining cats and dogs outside. It's not literally raining cats and dogs, but the noise is so loud, it's like cats and dogs fighting. That's a metaphor. When Jesus says, I saw Satan falling from heaven like lightning, it's a metaphor of the fact that he's losing his power. When he says, I saw you have authority over serpents and scorpions, he's not talking about the disciples literally stepping on serpents and scorpions. It's a metaphor. Because evil spirits in Scripture are often referred to as serpents and scorpions. They have a sting. They're ugly. You don't like them. And so Jesus uses this as a metaphor for evil spirits. Now, one of the biggest mistakes Christians make is that we read the Bible and we come to a metaphor and we take it literally. That's a huge mistake, for example. You remember when John writes in Revelation that when Jesus comes again, he will come riding a white horse. Do you remember that? Well, when you read books about that, you always see Jesus pictured as riding a white horse in the second coming. I see that and I'm like, whoa, what are you doing here? That's a metaphor. Jesus is not literally riding a white horse when he comes for you in death or when he comes again to end this age and usher in heaven. A white horse is a symbol of victory. In Jesus' day, if a war was won, the winning emperor or general would ride a white horse. He was the victor. So what John is saying in using this metaphor of Jesus coming again is he's won. When it's all over, Jesus wins. So be very careful that you understand the metaphors. In this text, Jesus says, you're correct. Satan is being defeated. My kingdom is advancing. But then he makes this stunning statement. Nevertheless, I say to you, do not rejoice in this. In what? Well, he tells us, do not rejoice that the evil spirits are subject to you, but rejoice that your names are recorded in heaven. What? Have you ever thought or read or understood that Jesus says to you, don't rejoice that evil spirits are subject to you? What do evil spirits do? Monty Williams at the funeral, he said it very clearly. Satan and all evil spirits have as a goal to steal from you, to kill you, and to destroy you. Everything in this life that harms you, that comes your way to destroy you, it doesn't originate from a good God. It originates from a fallen world where evil spirits go around seeking to kill, steal, and destroy, including distracting the driver because the dog's in her lap. And your wife is killed. Now, the disciples go out and they preach the kingdom. And all the bad things fall from heaven like lightning. They don't happen. People are healed. People have food to eat. People's lives are going wonderful. Satan is bound. The evil spirits are subject to the disciples. This is good. This is like you and I coming home. We just got the report. There is no cancer. Hallelujah. Right? Jesus says, don't rejoice that the evil spirits are subject to you. Whoa. Why in the world would you hesitate from rejoicing over good things that happen to you? Because those who wish to steal, kill, and destroy are subject, bound by you. Why would you not rejoice over that? I want to give you five reasons. for why you ought to reconsider getting emotionally high, rejoicing, being ecstatic over good things that happen to you in your temporal life. That means this life. Five things, five reasons. Number one, the spirits, the evil spirits, are really never subject to us. Ever. Now we get a glimpse of this in our text. Even the disciple says, they are subject to us in your name. I mean, they at least understand that. The only one to whom evil spirits are subject to and under the authority of is Jesus, the Anointed One, Emmanuel, God Himself. God alone is the one who has authority over evil spirits. He holds the keys of life and death. You don't. In fact, the truth of the matter is, every one of us here in this room could join together, hold hands, and we could pray and use all of our willpower to come against the smallest, least powerful demon ever created, and we couldn't even budge it. We couldn't even move it. But Jesus can. In Scripture, all the spirits, even the evil spirits, are subject to Him. We saw this in the demoniac who was among the tombs and nobody could do anything with him, and Jesus cast the demons into pigs. We saw this in the Old Testament when the evil spirit was conjured up by the witch. Everybody, the people of God, they were like scared to death. What is this? God alone has the power over those evil spirits. You don't. Don't ever forget that. It's one of the reasons why when I watch Christian television and I always see a man acting as if he has authority and power over the demonic world, and he himself says, and you know, do this, or he's acting as if he's the one in charge, man, I turn the channel. Jesus Christ alone has authority over evil spirits. You don't. Second, the control of the universe is Christ alone. That's a great thing. In fact, in Romans chapter 11, it says, this is one of my favorite verses, Don. It's only single syllables in the entire original language and also in English. For of Him and through Him and to Him, meaning Christ, are all things. All things are of Him. All things are through Him. All things eventually redound to Him. To Him be the glory. He sustains the universe. Now, why is that important to remember? Well, when a dog is in a woman's lap and she hits the accelerator and crosses over and kills a 44-year-old Christian woman, where's God? He's on His throne. Is He the one who caused the accident? No, nothing that steals, kills, or destroys comes from God. But He is sure sovereign over it, isn't He? You say, well, now, wait a minute. If He could have prevented it, then frankly, I'm angry with God. I get it, but let me show you something. You don't know what God knows. This is why you should always be careful from rejoicing over good things that happen to you and getting too down in the dumps over bad things that occur. You see, in Romans 8:28, and again, Monty Williams pointed this out, God is good, and He has promised that He will work all things according to your good. The problem is when you're in the middle of losing a son because of cancer, or you're in the middle of losing a sister because she's got a mass in her brain, or a mom because she's had a stroke, when you're in the middle of losing a job, when you're in the middle of whatever it is that you're in the middle of, something that is stolen, something that is being destroyed, something that you cherish, that is dying, you don't know what God knows. Therefore, you should never get too down when bad things happen, and you better be very careful before you rejoice over good things that happen. You say, but I thought the Bible says rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Well, it does, but I'll show you what you're to rejoice over in just a moment. What Jesus is saying to his disciples is simply this: when you go out and good things happen, when you're preaching the gospel of the kingdom, don't get too overly excited. You probably never thought about that, did you? Here's the fourth reason why you don't get too excited. Every one of us will one day be hurt by the spirits. Every one of us. Death is an enemy. God is not the author of death. Have you ever considered the fact that anyone who was dead around Jesus came to life? He's the author of life. Death is the last enemy that you will face. It is an evil spirit, and it will come your way. But Jesus is victorious over all evil spirits. And sometimes God will allow evil spirits to take things, to steal things, to destroy things, to kill things you cherish, because he's working something good that is difficult for you right now to see. Therefore, when good things happen to you, don't get overly ecstatic. And when bad things happen to you, don't get overly depressed. The fifth thing, and the fifth reason why you ought not rejoice over good things that happen to you, is because it's always best to keep an even keel emotionally. Here's the key phrase: about the things of this life. Always best. In other words, in fact, in my mind, it's one of the signs of maturity in terms of our faith. Bad things happen, even keel emotionally. Because we know God's in charge. He is always good. We know he's working something that we can't yet see, something good for us. Hey, we know that. And he's also told us that when good things happen and the report comes back and says no cancer, all the good things, the car misses us, all the good things, hey, we don't get too ecstatic and we don't rejoice, because we don't get too focused in on the things of this life one way or the other. So let me show you the flip side in closing. Jesus says, nevertheless, I say to you, I saw Satan falling like lightning. I saw the scorpions, and I saw the serpents being tread under your feet. I saw the evil spirits subject to you in my name. I saw that. Don't get too excited because of the reasons I just outlined. But then he gives us the positive. He says, rejoice that your names are written in heaven. What? Why? I want to give you five reasons why you and I ought to rejoice that God has written our name in heaven. By the way, what does it mean, he's written our name in heaven? Well, remember we saw last week the final judgment and how Jesus will be just in judgment. And A. Bright, the gentleman preaching for me, he had a great question. He was watching the service. He said, wait. He said, man, I just don't understand. I was taught something different. I was taught that Christians stand before God in the judgment and everything that they've done is judged. I said, no, I know, Abe. That's usually what people say. He said, but you said that only those without Christ are judged for their works. Yes, I stand by that. Well, then what happens to Christians? You're a co-heir of Jesus Christ. Because of Christ's obedience in your place and your faith in him, all of the blessings Christ earned for his perfect obedience are yours because of your faith. This is the message of the gospel. Abraham believed God in that God would give to him the promised one, Jesus the Messiah. And God took Abraham's faith and credited it to him as righteousness. You know what that means? Right standing before God. We will all stand before God. We will not fall like the wicked will fall. We stand before Him because we've been credited with the righteousness of Christ because of our faith in Christ. Now we are a co-heir with Christ. Co-heir with Christ. That's what happens to us. But how do we know we're a co-heir with Christ? How do we know that? Because your name is written in the book of life. We find this out in Revelation, where the Apostle John says, whosoever was not found in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. And of course, they were cast in the lake of fire after they were judged. Because remember, their sentence varies according to their crimes. So, if your name is written in the book of life, this is what you are to rejoice over. This is what you are to sing about. This is what you are to send a card out and say, man, my life is a riot. I love it. Why? Because my name is written in the book of life. When's the last time you've rejoiced over that? Do you see the caution Jesus is giving us? Five reasons why we ought to rejoice that our name is written in heaven. Number one, we're the people of God. We're to help those whose names are written in the book of life, because my life now, compared to heaven, is like a blink. In other words, you get all ecstatic about things that don't last very long. You're healthy, you're gonna die. You got a wonderful house, you're gonna lose it. Got a great marriage? Not going to be married forever. Listen, why do you get ecstatic over things that last like the blink of an eye instead of things that are eternal? Second, in heaven, all the spirits who cause you problems here will be judged and removed. You don't ever have to worry about them again. I think this is one of the reasons Jesus says that He will wipe away every tear. There will be no evil spirits who will come after you to take your life. There will be no evil spirits who will come after you to destroy what you have. There will be no evil spirits. They'll be judged. They'll be cast into the lake of fire. They're gone. Rejoice over the fact that for all of eternity, you'll not struggle with evil spirits like you do today. Third, in heaven, all of my gifts and my possessions, they're never lost. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine being in a place where you will never lose a relationship with someone you love? Can you imagine being in a place where you won't lose a relationship because of anger, pettiness, bitterness? Can you imagine being with the spouse you love, your best friend, never, ever again to lose relationship with her? Can you imagine being someplace people might not like you right now? Can you imagine with all that dislike being cleansed and just enjoying company? Can you imagine being someplace where there are no deadlines? Can you imagine where you work without labor? Can you imagine where you create without conflict? Can you imagine being in a place where you will never lose what's been given to you? A home that Jesus is building for you that will never decay or rot. Now, I understand the old hymns sing of streets of gold. And I get that. Again, it's a metaphor. In heaven, which is nothing but the earth where the curse has been reversed by Christ, where you're raised from the dead, world without end, where you walk with the lions and the lambs, and you enjoy the dwelling that God has prepared for you and brought from heaven. The universe is yours, possibly even to explore. You create. Can you imagine eternity without the dysfunction of sin? This is why you rejoice that your name is written in the book of life. Evil spirits hound you here. They're gone there. But the next reason, in heaven, I will have what God always intended me to have. Life the way it was meant to be lived. Right proportions, right thinking, learning, discovery. Can you imagine sitting down with somebody and talking maybe to Abraham Lincoln, talking with politicians today who know Christ, but there's not the animosity, not the fighting. Can you imagine just talking about life and enjoying it the way God intended life to be enjoyed? Here's the thing. Jesus is saying, in this life, be very careful that you don't get too excited, too ecstatic over good things that happen now. Keep an even keel. Don't even get too down about bad things that happen now. No. Why? And I close with this. Because it is always best to keep your mind on things above. This is what the scripture says. The apostle Paul writes, and he says, set your mind on the things above, not on the things of this earth. Now think with me, and I'm done. Here your disciples, you're sent out by Jesus in pairs, 70 of you. You're going out and you're sharing Christ and the good news and the kingdom. You can know God, be forgiven of your sins. You can follow Christ and find joy in Him. And then all of a sudden people are being healed. All of a sudden things are changing. And you're like, wow, this is amazing. The evil spirits, they're subject to us. And you come back running, Jesus, listen, we're so full of joy. The evil spirits are bound. And Jesus says, be careful. Be careful. Don't rejoice that they're bound. I saw it too. But they're not bound to you. They're bound to me. Understand? When bad things happen, I've got a purpose. You don't know what I know, so just relax. Don't get too excited when good things happen. Don't get too down when bad things happen. I'm in charge. You will be one day hurt by evil spirits. But take heart. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. I am the creator of it all, and I have come in love for you to die for you. And when you die after facing your last enemy, I will raise you to life eternal. That is the gift that I'm giving to you. All the gifts and graces and possessions of eternal life are yours because of me. You'll never lose them in heaven. You'll never lose them. All the evil spirits who plague you here are gone. Every tear you cry will be wiped away. Rejoice that your name is in heaven, because eternity, compared to your life now is a blink. Just relax. Keep your mind focused on things above and know every one of your sins is forgiven. All the blessings of eternity are yours because of your faith in me. You are the apple of my eye. I'm taking care of you. Relax. Don't get too excited when good things happen here. Don't get too down when bad things happen here. Rejoice that your name is written in heaven. How about it? How about it? Will it change the way you think? Will it change the way you pray? Will it change the way you talk? These aren't my words. These are the words of Christ. May God give us the grace to be the kind of people who set our affections on the things above. Let's pray.